Regular meeting of the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project Governance Committee. And if the minutes can reflect that Supervisor Dave Potter, myself, Rob McLean, and Jeannie Byrne are all present. And if you'll please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, Rob and I were just commenting on how today is a light agenda, nothing necessarily needed to be done this week as opposed to in 2 weeks. I will do a better job of canceling meetings when they can be canceled. I apologize that, I appreciate that everyone is here.
Does that mean we don't have to fill the allotted time slot then?
Yeah, if we want to get this done in 25 minutes.
Brevity, again.
Okay, we'll turn to public comment. Any member of the public wish to address the Governance Committee? Seeing none, we will close the public comment. Guess I will make one other comment before we get started, which is the Governance Committee agreement itself, as I think we've reported both here and in other venues. GWR decision was the topic of the June 12th workshop out at the Public Utility Commission. And coming out of that workshop, there is a recognition that the Tier 2 advice letter structure probably wasn't the right structure for making that decision and that determination. Russ McLaughlin, the Water Authority's PUC attorney, is working on a redraft of that section of the Governance Committee agreement. He expects to have that ready for the four parties to review earlier, middle of next week. So I just wanted to put that on your radar, and I'm sure that he's working or will be working with your respective councils on that, but just so everyone knows that that is in the works. I'm only expecting the change to be on that section, the GWR recommendation section. It would be helpful if we can revise that document by the end of the month, if your meeting schedule accommodates that. If not, we can deal with it in August. Any questions or other comments on that? Okay. We have first action item, approved minutes of June 13th. Any comments on those minutes, public or from the Governance Committee?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. We have considered requests from for Governance Committee meetings to be recorded and televised. I believe that on the dais is a summary of what that would cost. And I don't know if Arlene or Dave, you wanted to provide a quick stuff report.
Actually, if I gave a report, it would be reading.
It's basically doable.
There wouldn't be a regular time slot. It wouldn't be broadcast live, but they would slate it in to fill programming. It's about $80 an hour. So a two-hour meeting with a half-hour setup is $200.
And so where's the $2,200 per meeting?
That would be for the remainder of the fiscal year. So.
Oh, I see.
Based on 11 additional meetings.
I'm not excited about the expenditure, frankly.
I don't see the reason to spend more money.
Okay. We are looking into what our own staff can do to record from our existing cameras on our own, which if that bears fruit, we can make another presentation. The Cal Poly, the long one, has been broken up into three segments, and I believe you said it is posted now to our
It's on a YouTube, district's YouTube, but it hasn't yet been posted on the Governance Committee website,
no
on our web
yet,
page.
There are things like that we can do for special occasions as well. You could choose to do AMP coming in and we could pay for it to get it up, but I mean, it's really your choice.
So I'll take a the opposite side of that, just at least for sake of argument and discussion, which is
because we have the time.
Well, because I think it's actually one of the reasons that we work to create the governance committee is to provide a transparency into the decision-making process. And I think that recording the meetings, particularly if we can post them online such that people after the fact can go back and review something, it provides a mechanism for those who may be interested, may not be interested enough to be here today, but may after the fact wonder why something occurred, and to be able to look and say, okay, well, in fact, the public entities that we represent had a voice and made a particular recommendation and or a particular decision. In the scheme of things, $2,200 seems like a small price to pay to improve the public's window into a $200 million project.
But now you were saying that we can do this on YouTube without spending this money.
Well, no, we're not there yet.
And that's AMP, a possibility.
Yeah, and so this would be, AMP would come in, set up, film it, give us a CD, we'd take the CD, take a digital file, put it to our YouTube website, and make it available that way until such time as we figure out how to do it on our own.
So how would we know that?
Maybe I could ask our folks to look at this too. I mean, we're making a lot of YouTube videos these days because they're basically free, and we bought the camera. And, I mean, it's YouTube quality.
Right.
let me talk to Catherine and see, maybe we can have somebody from CalAmp do it.
Yeah. I think if there's no cost to it and it's on YouTube, that's fine. I wouldn't see putting it on a recorded station.
Does AMP require a year contract, or can they just do it?
Oh, they can just do it on request.
So what would people think? It's $200 meeting. What if we get them going just for the time being, and as soon as you can get a YouTube solution, then we stop using AMP and switch over to YouTube? That way we don't miss.
I wouldn't support that. Maybe if it was the Cal Poly presentation, the final presentation.
When is our next meeting?
It's August 1st.
So how about, I could certainly commit to, in a few days, getting you an answer whether we could do it.
Okay.
Good. And if the answer would be yes and it would be free, I can't tell you it's going to be NBC quality, but...
Well, let us look into, because we just kind of recently came up with this internally, because we are wired, and that room has all the
equipment. Right.
So if it's pressing a button, or two, or three, it's just we haven't nailed that down yet, so...
Yeah, I definitely support that. I mean, I appreciate your playing the transparency card, but frankly... You know, if there's a way to do it for nothing, I'm going to be supportive of that. And if we had to do it, pay for one meeting or something. I mean, I've been to a few meetings and I haven't seen anything, you know, that, you know, was allegedly something that was burning a hole in the public's heart. So I think there's a way we can get this done at a no-cost basis. So I'm going to support that.
Right.
So Dave, you want
to... Well, go ahead and ask internally what it will take, because if it's just... the digital video camera and conversion, that's an option.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out what it takes for this.
Okay, we'll compare notes before the next meeting.
And excuse me, I do want to say that we do have MP3 recordings of all these meetings on the website now.
Okay.
Any further comments, Sue? I know you've had thoughts on this.
The only comment I would make is that right now, to the public, the word governance sounds like you're at the top of the pyramid and you don't exist. If you go to the website for the water project, there's no mention of governance. So unless you know to go to the water district, you don't find anything about governance. So at least there should be a note on the WPA, the Regional Water Project, to say governance committee is on the water district, so they know to go there. But right now, there's no way to get, if you're not knowledgeable, the agenda or any of the data. I would also say that, Al Genie, I differ a little bit in that at this point, penny wise and pound foolish, you know, but it's going to get a little hotter as you go further down the line, and anything you can do to say everything that the water project is doing is transparent and available to everyone, I think is a plus, whether they take advantage of that or not for the small amount of money involved.
Okay. And any other comments? Thank you, Sue. I think the suggestion to provide a link on the various websites that people may go to at this point, the audio recordings, and in the future, hopefully, YouTube video recordings.
Yeah, the authority's site is linked.
Right.
But what we really need is the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project site to link to the authority and the
Cal-Am's.
We'll look at that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion? We'll move on to discussion item 3, which is update from Cal-Am on the RFP process.
Anthony, you want to?
Sure. Start that? Absolutely. Well, after receiving input from this committee and others, we revised the RFP and draft contract, and we issued those documents to the 5 shortlisted firms back on June 17th. And in fact, as we speak, right now, one of the teams is meeting with our technical team. That's why Rich Finland and others aren't here today. This week was designated for a 3-hour block for each of the 5 teams to meet with our internal and external technical consultants to review the project on the whole, ask questions, get some answers to help them develop their proposal. We have a similar set of meetings scheduled for next week to discuss legal and contractual issues. And again, all 5 proposers are scheduled for a 3-hour block next week. And that's kind of the highlight. Following those meetings, the proposers are asked to submit any additional questions or comments they have, including comments related to the draft contract by July 31st. And then Cal-Am intends to take all of that into consideration, issue responses to the questions as appropriate, and or addendum to the RFP, and perhaps a modified design build contract by mid-August. And I believe it's August 16th. And then the proposal due date is September 17th. So that's kind of the outline and where we are right now.
And can you remind us the Cal Poly design, where that fits into the RFP process?
Sure, I'm not hands-on on that. I know that, in fact, there were 2 meetings before this committee that I did not attend where the Cal Poly students presented, and the next one, as Ernie mentioned earlier, was scheduled for August 1st. Beyond that, I'm not.
Well, my understanding, Anthony, is that we have provided the renderings that we've received, if that's the right technical word, to the vendors, and we've given the direction. In fact, we've given kind of the language that's in the governance committee, which puts a frame around this. This should be used to the extent that it doesn't add cost.
Right.
And we're. I guess we intend to, when it's a final product, issue it to them and let them know, hey, this is a conceptual that's been kind of blessed through this process. You should take it under advisement and use it to the extent that you think it doesn't add cost. One of the tricks with this is that the architects will have to decide whether what's been given makes them competitive or not, or and what they think about that. So it's going to be a little interesting to see how it goes from this concept to getting into their final bids. Because I think it's a little bit subjective. Gene, I don't know what you think, but.
The Cal Poly design is addressing certain issues that they see, but there's probably a lot more technical stuff that's going to really play into this, and they can't be bound by that if it doesn't work.
Right. So I think something,
I agree with Jeannie. A public, this is the aesthetics piece of the project, frankly, the operational factors may compromise aesthetics at some point, but I don't know enough about, how they put together a plant like this to say yay or nay.
Okay.
But then maybe you take some of the elements. I mean, there's some design elements that could be applied to almost any surface, so.
Right. Yeah, so I think what'll be interesting is when we get the final bids, we'll be able to compare and look at, can we see any, or how much of the, you know, similarities can we see between the Cal Poly work and the final effort? And I guess we'll judge based on that.
So there's five teams, right?
Correct.
And how much is known publicly about those five teams? Very little at this point.
I believe all five teams are listed on the project website here.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, nobody's been nosing around. So, you know, typically there's a guy from Kiewit that had been calling up until the beginning of the process. And
right. Per the RFP, they're not permitted to contact us.
Yeah.
Any of us.
Can I ask a question on the terminology? This has come up with the authority in the school before, and that's the use of the word bids. I think it's a little confusing. I think we need to clarify. If we're talking about bids, which suggests it's going to be basically on the price. I mean, typically that's what bids do. My understanding is we're requesting proposals, and the reason I make this distinction is because there may well be elements of the Cal Poly design or some of the components that the authority and the governance committee have put forward that potentially have some increased initial cost, life cycle cost, they could actually have a reduction. But that's the fact of the matter is that, as I understand it, the Cal-Am decision is not going to be made strictly on the bottom line cost of each of the various proposals and what it's going to cost for them as they see it to build the ESOP plant. I assume you're going to analyze the proposals in the context of a professional proposal submission, and then you negotiate with the best, the most qualified, and you work your way down from there. So there is a distinction. The public may not understand that, and I think when we use the word bids all the time, the implication for the average person, I think, is lowest price. And that is going to have to be explained. If it isn't explained beforehand, it'll have to be explained at some point.
Well, it's qualification-based selection, right?
Yeah, and it's all spelled out in the RFP, the weighting and stuff.
And so it's the best value proposal.
Right, and I think that, you know, to the extent that we can avoid using the word bids and use the word proposals, like
we often use them interchangeably, but you're absolutely right. It's probably better to say proposals. Yeah.
If at the end of the day, Cal-Am chooses one proposal that is higher initial cost but lower life cycle cost, we all want to have a good explanation as to why that decision was made. Okay. Thank you for that update. Any comments on that update? Okay. Next is an update on the development of the landfill gas term sheet. Again, this is one of the Category A criteria of the Governance Committee, which is to cause Cal-Am to enter into a procurement for non-PG&E power. If doing so lowers the cost of power, and I don't know if Jim, mm-hmm. if you have the staff report on this. And mm-hmm.
We have our kind of informal committee consists of myself plus last time around was Dave Stolt, Brad Hagman, and Rick Finland, William Murray from the Waste Management District. And again, myself, this is actually the third meeting that the so-called Power Committee or Power Group has had. And our objective at the authority level is to pull the effort together between Cal-Am as the consumer and William Murray at the landfill as a potential supplier of the electrical power. And there's been the issue of the term sheet came out, and that had various meanings for various folks. But the bottom line is essentially what we're looking at from the landfill standpoint, they can tell you basically what they're capable of doing. And from Cal-Am's standpoint, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but essentially is what they need to operate. And so the term sheet kind of compares the needs versus what they're capable of providing. And we still have several years in which this can be pulled together. So the objective right now is, where we are right now, is that both Cal-Am's representatives, Rich, and then William Murray have agreed at a minimum to kind of work toward an MOU. If anything, it's more of a pre-negotiating, as we said, a pre-negotiating discussion with a view towards when the time comes for the landfill will be in a position to provide a substantial amount of power at a reasonable price to the desal facility. And this can get very complicated because it has to do with the inline voltages comparing PG&E, what they bring in power in on transmission versus the lower voltages, more usable voltages that could come right over the fence from the landfill. Has to do with the fact that the Waste Management District has a responsibility to sell its power for as much as it can reasonably get. That may well yet be proved to be less expensive and more desirable for a number of reasons than obtaining it from PG&E. Where we are at this point, it seems that there is a possibility during this discussion phase that's taking place rather intently, or will very shortly, between Cal-Am and with the Waste Management District, to figure out the right technical issues and how best to price this thing out and how best to provide the power. I will say this, that it looks like the best way to avoid debt equivalency issues and the best way to avoid complications in terms of having to, you know, buy it, whether you use it or not, kind of issues, is to have it, have the landfill continue to have two places it can send its power, if this works out. One is to the desal, the other is into the grid. And for other customers through the grid that would be utilizing some of the renewable power, which they currently have. Likewise, for the desal facility, it appears to be desirable for them to be able to get power from two sources. One would be from the landfill generation as well as from PG&E, kind of depending on what's up, what's down, what the best pricing is, and so on. So that's one of the reasons it's difficult to put a number and say, right today, this is the price. We really don't know what the price is going to be. The objective of this effort is to get the best possible pricing of the of reliable power at the time that the desal plant needs it and over the course of its life, and how best to structure this thing so that if power prices go up, we don't, the desal facility isn't faced with a big spike in power, but at the same time, if it goes down, we want to be in a position to buy the least expensive power. So there's obviously issues on both sides, but right now we have a good communication going. We will meet again on an on-call basis, probably sometime in September, to see what the status is, but that's where we are right now. Things are moving forward, and I at least, as the executive director, pretty comfortable we're moving in the right direction, and hopefully governance committee will be comfortable with that approach. Any questions or the
quick questions for Jim?
It's not a question. I would suspect there might be some carbon offset credits that might be of value given the air quality issues that would be generated by the plant itself. There might be some mitigation that might be helpful in balancing that issue.
There are what they call renewable power credits that are available. The question is who owns them and who needs them. And typically what you discover is if the customer doesn't need them for whatever reason, either as a mandatory for example, construction of the desal facility, or mandatory for some other facility that they have in construction, they're probably not willing to pay anything for them. They might not even pay, they may not pay for them voluntarily. And those mandatory credits are worth usually 10 times as much, certificates are usually worth 10 times as much, typically in New York, $10 per thousand or something like that, versus one for voluntary. Now, voluntary is where you have folks that want to just be green, willing to pay a little bit of a premium, and they buy those certificates. So, and I think Jason's probably more knowledgeable than I am on that subject, but at this stage of the game, my understanding is that Cal-Am does not have that requirement. The landfill is talking in terms of keeping the certificates for the power they generate and then selling them on the market. There is a market out there, both for mandatory credits and voluntary credits for all the customers. So right now, that is not a major piece of the discussion. Should Cal-Am's situation change where they need those certificates, then I imagine those will be factored in down the road. And part of
I'm just speculating that at some point emissions may become an issue going through the process. So I just put it on the table for, I mean, I'm very supportive of what you're doing. I think it's a good call. And, you know, negotiations, as you say, can go on for quite a while. It's not affecting anything at the time, but we might want to just hold that for a call.
Yeah, and we have touched upon this at a couple different meetings, and it's important to keep track of where those RECs, the renewable energy credits, may reside. And I think Jim characterized it correctly, but also recognizing, as you just did, Dave, that Cal-Am may be required as part of their mitigation, either at the PUC EIR level or at the Coastal Commission level, where all the all the other permitting agencies that you're going to have to go through, there may be some mitigation required, and this could well help with that.
Help, yeah. Great.
Okay.
I'm interested in the feedback of the committee on one issue, which I heard arise around this, which is a request from the Waste Management District that we would pay them to negotiate with us. And when that was presented to me, I kind of said...
What does that mean?
Well, I hate to say this, Dave, but sometimes government likes to charge for, you know, charge to do permitting and work and things. And I guess I can come to understand that for permitting, but in this case, I kind of have a little bit of trouble accepting that we would pay the Waste Management District to work on this. As I understood it, part of it is kind of an outcome from the fact that in the prior agreement they did a fair bit of work with Marina Coast and nothing came of it. So I think maybe it's more from their perspective, hey, they want us to demonstrate that we're serious about this by paying them to work with us. But I think I'm just reading the body language, and my answer is I'm not interested in that.
Well, probably only if we can charge them for working with us.
Yeah.
We just sold power from the power plant at Nacimiento, and we cut a great deal on that, but there was no pay for that process. Nobody got compensated for entering a free market.
Yeah.
So, Sue's on the board.
Yes, William briefed me on the meeting that took place this week. Both Dave and Jim were there, so I would defer to them if this came up, but this is not anything that I've heard discussed at the board level, so I'm somewhat surprised.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there was a hard before this date or after this date kind of thing, but it was definitely broached that we don't want to head, meaning Williams Agency, doesn't want to head way down the line like they've done before and then have it evaporate and have all these sunk costs. But I didn't take it as we start the ticker on day one. So I think it was just an acknowledgement that you may have costs and yeah, maybe, but I don't think there's a commitment that was made, but it was raised. But
I mean, it is fair to ask how serious we are. I one thing that I would encourage maybe Jim for you to point him to is that this is a decision of the governance committee, not of Cal-Am. So Cal-Am, you know, provided it meets the conditions in the governance committee, which are in this fairly minor, basically lower cost power and doesn't create a reliability issue. So it's the right quality power. It'll be this body's decision. And I think if you go and look at each of our board, why I'll only speak for the Water Authority, certainly the Water Authority is unanimous in all six are saying, yes, we very much want to pursue this. So I hope that that message can at least help to make the point that we are on this end of things. We're serious about this negotiation.
I think William's point was that they're doing, he can clarify it, but I think, you know, he's used the terminology a couple times now that he wants to be sure that the Waste Management District is made whole based on apparently on the past bad experience with the Marina Coast project. So it may be a moot point to get right down to it, because if in fact we move forward and we think that they're moving successfully towards the point where the landfill power will be certainly a smart source of a good part of the power that's going to be utilized, then there's not going to be any lost effort. I think their concern would be that they would put a lot of effort into determining what the power requirements are, making sure that their equipment is compatible and that the transformer work and the other work that they're envisioning doing downstream is focused on providing this power, and then wind up and say, well, no, we changed our mind, we're just going to pull it from PG&E. And then, you know, how does he explain? I mean, if William's comfortable explaining to the board and their board is willing to front those funds and take a chance, that I guess that's something that he'd have to address to his board. But that was his concern. And the dollar, put it in dollar values, we're talking about roughly $50,000 is what's in the game. And it's about a year to do the analysis to determine what's going to be required on both sides to make the system work.
But I think barring physical improvements that have to get made in order for the deal to be struck, then it's just negotiation. And we did talk a little bit about price. And when you're a merchant plant and you're selling basically wholesale into the grid, in order for it to be delivered power that's competitive with PG&E's other rate tariffs, you're necessarily selling it in, let's say, at 6 cents a kilowatt hour. And then there's wheeling charges, and it goes back out, and it's at 13 cents or whatever the rate is, so that the retailer's making some money in the transaction. So we suggested that it's in the company's interest to pay a tenth of a cent more than what three-phase is currently paying for the wholesale rate, which is, I think, around 6 cents,
right,
you know, whatever it is. And it's Williams' incentive to get paid a tenth of a cent under the retail rate, and that's where you're at, and we're going to end up somewhere in the middle. And when you're negotiating somewhere in the middle, it's a better deal for the waste management district than it is to just sell it to three-phase or whatever the wholesaler is. So they have an incentive to negotiate, and they will recover revenue that more than compensates them for getting into the negotiation. So I think your initial instincts are correct. You get into an arm's length negotiation because you have an interest in the outcome. So only if they have to make some investment in advance of the final deal should you even be concerned about their sunk costs. And so I think it's just a conversation that needs to be had later.
And nothing's locked up anywhere, and just put on the table, and obviously the next time we have a meeting, Richard's going to make it pretty clear what Glenn's position
is. He has my opinion, and I didn't really
made it pretty clear.
Okay. So. But it's good to hear you guys support that, because
you're not hearing us encourage you to change your position. Okay.
If I could just make one more comment. It's an investment of $22 million for the district. So, they're looking at a major capital investment here. But the make whole, I think that Jim was referring to, has always been that William has felt that we, the waste management district, can't underwrite it. That is to say, undersell it so that it's an advantage to you and a disadvantage to the district. I mean,
right.
It's got to be market price.
I think, as Dave
charity is not the middle name of the waste management.
As Dave described, from the district's perspective, it's anywhere from that wholesale price, 6 cents plus a little bit north,
right.
And from Calina's perspective, it's whatever that tariff rate is south, and there's a lot of room to negotiate between those two,
which should ultimately compensate for legal bills and the stuff.
Okay, Jim, do you need any further any direction? This is just an update.
That's good. Okay. That's good direction from
okay. So this will likely come back in the mid late fall time frame.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. On this topic, one last thing. So Cal-Am needs to hire, and they're trying to find the same firm to do two things. One is a power availability analysis, so what are the best sources of power to serve the plant? But the other is an analysis both of Williams' operation as well as PG&E's operation, therefore system, in terms of system reliability and outages and voltage control and a whole variety of things, that because they're kind of on the fringe of the PG&E system. So some of that information will be necessary in order to go further down the path of a power sales.
And we're comfortable paying for that stuff.
Yeah, you got to know.
Yeah,
and I think Dave is going to provide some of that information to Rich.
I'm going to try to hook Rich up with some consultants that I'm working with.
Okay, anything else on this subject? Next item is just the discussion of future agendas, and as I said at the outset, I will work harder. I apologize that I don't think we necessarily needed to have this meeting. We'll work to consolidate meetings to make sure it's in everyone's putting your time to good use. From Cal-Am's perspective, we have the August 1st meeting with respect to Cal Poly. Anything else? Any other significant bids that meet the threshold of coming to the governance committee that should be on the radar?
Not that I'm aware of offhand.
I'm just thinking we're We entered into the pipeline consulting arrangement prior to the formation of the governance committee.
Right.
We're working on, maybe be careful not to talk about settlement, I guess. Yeah, I think we're still a few months away from talking about construction. You know, that pipeline construction could come forward at some point, but that's a ways away.
And the August 1st meeting will be after the settlement is, deadline is, so we'll maybe have more to talk about than that. Anything else that, we need to have on future agendas? All right. With that, we will adjourn the, government.